Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, we're the Adventure Syndicate, and you're listening to the Wheel Suckers Podcast.
I am your captain, Alex. I do social media marketing and events for Look Mom No Hands, and I'm joined by my stoking,
Jenny. I'm stoking at London Bike Kitchen, getting stoked. What does Look Mom No Hands do?
We're a cycle cafe bar workshop, 49 Old Street, London. We serve coffee, bikes, and beer, and food. What about you?
London Bike Kitchen is a do-it-together bike workshop in Hackney, of course. And we teach people how to fix their own bikes. We do this through classes, drop-in sessions, and our Women and Gender Variant WAG night.
I've heard you've written a book.
Jenny has her little head in her hands,
yeah.
Fluttering her eyelashes now.
Who, me? Tell us about your bloody book.
Yeah, I wrote a book. It's called How to Build a Bike, and it smells really good. Good page feel. We did a launch event at Look Mom No Hands, and we combined it with Bike Yogi because I didn't want to talk.
One of the people that worked at the publishers afterwards came over and was like, this is the best book launch I've ever been to. And they were like sassy as hell. Like they kept wanting to sing songs and being like, turn it up louder. You know, and you're like, whoa, who knew you were like really into this?
Just for background, we did Bike Yogi along with the book launch. Bike Yogi is exactly as it sounds. It's a combination of riding a bicycle while singing karaoke. I invented this, by the way. You can't steal it. It was lots of fun.
So good.
Super fun.
So good.
It's super pointless. There is no reason why you should ride a bike and sing karaoke, except that it's amazing.
The best is when people get puffed out halfway through. There's like this kind of dark humour in just like, and then people try really hard to sing when they're puffed out. Oh, I want to share. Donovan came over to me and he was like, Alex, don't quit your day job. You can't sing. It's like there were a couple here having dinner and they had their fingers in their ears. And I have to do a shout out to Kaz from North London Thundercats Black Metal Bicycle Club. I was kind of a little bit shook because I'd already sung three songs by this point. And he tells me that and I'm like, but I'm really good. He didn't know I was kind of joking. He's like, no, Alex, you're terrible. Yeah, and then so I told Kaz and she was like, right. We're singing a song now. That's when we sang I Got You, Babe.
Yeah.
But that's the perfect way to counteract someone making you feel like shit. It's just like, get with somebody else and like, I got you, babe! Like, really loud, really loud.
So it was a mountain bike. Just for shits and giggles, we put a mountain bike on a turbo trainer because nobody does that. And we had like knobbly tires on. And there was a pannier rack on the back, which ended up being great for duets.
Perfect.
Because
for duets.
Someone would just sit on the back and then the other person would sit and pedal.
And Jenny really sold fun. All the books, 60 books?
Yeah, we sold out.
You sell out.
Yeah, fucking sell out. I will be in Bristol at the Bristol Bike Project on Monday, the 20th of November, and in Oxford, just pinning down a date now with the Broken Spoke Bike Co-op. But that will probably be the first week of December. I'm going back to California for Christmas, and I've already been invited to speak at a bike place in Santa Cruz.
Cool.
Sometime in December. So if you're in Santa Cruz, come say hi. I'll probably stop by a couple of the other bike projects there. This is the other thing. So they only printed 1,800.
Okay.
And they've already sold 1,200.
What? Jenny! Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Okay. Oh, shit.
Like, yeah. Do you want the first edition? Do you want to be a part of history? Just make a decision now. I'll put a link below. Go and buy Jenny's book and don't miss out.
You can buy it online at all good bookstores and retailers. Oh, and if you have the book and if you like it, maybe leave an Amazon rating. I mean, you don't have to buy anything from Amazon, but if you leave a 5-star review, for example.
Maybe. Not to put words in your mouth.
Short and sweet reviews. You don't have to write a book.
Oh, write a book about my book. Whoa!
It's really fun and exciting and a bit overwhelming. The shitty thing is I can't spend time promoting it because I actually work. If you guys can help me do the promotion, that'd be greatly appreciated.
We're on it.
Yeah.
What else have you been up to, Jenny?
Two events that are coming up in the near future is our Halloween Hell Climb, which is on the date of Halloween. So Tuesday the 31st.
Tuesday the 31st of October.
This is a ride. It's a fun ride. We start at Bite Kitchen. We make some spiced wine.
Whoa.
And hot apple cider. And then we ride to Swain's Lane in Highgate.
Up
the hill. We might burn something again this year. We burned the head of Donald Trump last year. It was part of a ritual to prevent the election of him, and it didn't work.
It didn't work. Fuck.
So maybe it's not a good idea for us to burn something, but it's still fun. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Come on the ride. Second event coming up is on Sunday, the 12th of November, is Wagfest. And this is our fourth Wagfest we've ever done. And it's a day of celebrating bike culture and stuff around a theme. This year's theme is activism in bikes because there's kind of a lot of that shit going on. And we wanted to address that. And it's going to be at the DIY space in South London. Entry is by donation. Suggested donation is £5. And it's from 1 to 5 p.m. And we've got a really great program coming up. So
I'll put a link below.
Yeah. But that's it. What's going on at LookMo?
We have loads of events on. I don't want to take up your time by listing all of them. So I would recommend signing up to our newsletter or going on our website or following us on Facebook. Facebook's actually really good at listing events in chronological order. Our website doesn't do that. I have to do it manually. But just wanted to shout out about, we have lots of cycle speed dating events coming up, and specifically wanted to shout out about the fact that we are doing some queer nights. I've had lots of people ask for them every time we try and organise them. Sadly, we don't get enough people sign up to make it worth it for you, because you don't really want to have to date like two or three people. Queer women on the 1st of November, and we have gay men on the 15th of November. They're also hetero night. Go have a look. They're super fun. We went. We had a really fun time. And so now we have a delightful little short snippet.
Give you some insight.
Jenny's
into the aftermath.
Maybe had a drink. And went on an excellent mission for us, sharing a quick interview with some people at Cycle Speed Day.
Enjoy!
Hi, I'm here with
Stephen.
And we're at Look Mom No Hands' cycle speed dating thingy. And I'm just asking for people's reactions to the event. What did you think?
Oh, it's great.
Was it weird?
Yeah, speed dating is always going to be weird, but that's okay. That's all right. You get used to, the weirdness evaporates after about 2 minutes.
Did you need a drink?
I needed several drinks. But I feel much more into it now that it's finished. I feel much more prepared now that it's over. But I think it was all right. I think it went okay.
Would you do it again?
Yes, I would do it again. Definitely.
Would you suggest your friends to do it?
Absolutely. Yeah, the more the merrier. Definitely.
Okay, thank you. Oh, it's still recording. Hi, I'm here with... I'm here with Karen. Focus. Karen Hartley of Hartley Cycles. And you're also here at Cycle Speed Dating. What did you think?
It was great. I just found out, though, that Jenny didn't actually realise that her podcast, Wheel Suckers, was a pun. Which
a pun!
I don't know what to say.
Are we still friends? No comments. Can you answer my original question?
I forgot what it was.
What did you think of the event?
It was great. We got lots of good stories from Stephen, who's a doctor. I'm not going to tell you where.
Would you do it again?
Yes.
Are you sure?
With enough alcohol, yes.
Okay, thank you, Karen, for sharing your story. Bye.
I love it. I just thought you were like, bleh. So, I'm going to put some cards down on the table. They're actually tarot cards. I flip them over and it's lots of cups. Mm. And this one's of lots of bottles. No, actually, it's like loads of cocktail shakers because we ended up having a lot of cocktails. So you can see that we were drunk. We've done a drunk episode.
This actual interview with the Adventure Syndicate was done under the influence. Shout out to Every Cloud Bar, which is run by Felix, who is an LBK member. He hosted us and was very kind and made us some very generous cocktails.
Gonna put a link below, please. If you have time and you're near Hackney area and you want a really good drink in a really fun, dimly lit, atmospheric bar,
come to Emily Chappell and Lee Craigie, who are directors of the Adventure Syndicate. We grabbed them after their talk at Look Mum, their long distance ladies event. But we grabbed them and we rode to the bar and we got drunk, and this is the product.
We're going to play that for you now. I'd like to introduce We Are in a Bar.
Not just any bar.
We're in a good bar.
It's almost a year old.
We're in Every Cloud on Morning Lane in Hackney. You have to go because it's dimly lit, it's got good drinks.
There's a weird Halloween sculpture inside. It's holding a helmet right now.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, someone take a picture of that. And we'll share that. So we just finished an amazing turnout, knockout event at Look Mum No Hands. Sell out. Someone was like, over 100 people.
Oh my. I think it was like, it was packed.
It was a lot of people.
That's more people than I've got the whole of in room.
Because they couldn't get in.
Oh my goodness.
Really?
No.
Did we not let them in? That's a bit.
Well, it was like crowd management, you know, and you're like, please squish together, and people are like, no.
Oh, tiny.
It's the London way.
We should have just got everyone to take their clothes off.
What, make it closer?
Yeah, that would have encouraged. That would have encouraged closeness.
British people, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you not do that down here?
So, Emily, I guess, can we start by talking? I'd written how your story developed as a courier and who you are today, and then Adventure Syndicate. Do you want to start with Adventure Syndicate and then work back?
I've never done that before, so let's have a go. This will be interesting because I spent the whole evening talking, and normally when I get to the stage where I'm sitting in a bar after giving a talk, I'm monosyllabic. So having run out of words completely, let's kind of squeeze out a few more. So I am currently a director of the Adventure Syndicate. And the Adventure Syndicate, in brief, because I think Lee is going to go into that later, is a collective of pretty good female cyclists whose mission is to inspire and encourage and enable other women and men to challenge what they think they're capable of and generally come out of their comfort zone, be more awesome and have a good time involving bikes. So that's most of what I do at the moment. So we go off and we have our own adventures of various sorts. We spend a lot of time writing and talking and making films and maybe even one day podcasts and things like that to share it with people. But then rather than just saying, yeah, well, we've inspired people now and sitting back, we kind of think we've got to get in there a bit and actually meet people, talk to them, go for rides with them and help them learn stuff, rather than just having some kind of motivational Instagram account, which a lot of people already do. I don't think they always work very well. So that's what the Adventure Syndicate is, and that is a lot of what I do now. Mostly it involves spreadsheets.
Nice. I like a good spreadsheet. I hate spreadsheets. What do you do with them?
They make things happen.
But what?
If correctly manipulated. So I just spent quite a lot of my time tickling spreadsheets.
Don't know how to manipulate a good spreadsheet.
Well, sometimes I feel the spreadsheets are manipulating me. But it is apparently a fact of life that eventually all the most interesting things you can do mean that you end up sitting at a laptop making more interesting things happen through the medium of spreadsheets.
Yeah, and I guess it's funny now to just go back, because I know you were a courier, which...
I was a total pretty... waster.
Yeah, but before that, you were... Sorry, in the in-between time, you were doing the long-distance stuff that led you... So, are we going in chronological backwards? Or
we're doing flashbacks now.
Because also, I just want to add, there's a really interesting thing this evening with Karen.
Should we give some context of the fact that we've just been at an event where we were talking about long-distance cycling?
Yes. Yeah, so
one of the speakers at the event was Karen.
And she mentioned she was a courier, now doing long-distance cycling. Now she's seen Emily previously at Bespoke, and you were with
Oh, Julian.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there was this interesting correlation where you were like, oh, if you're a courier, you're used to being outside in the awful weather and you still just have to be, and you still have to keep cycling around. And then how that becomes like the next level thing where you're like, oh, well, I've been doing it and kind of getting paid for it, so I'll just keep doing it.
Well, what I tell people now is that I was a courier for years and loved it, really loved it, really miss it. It's the best job I ever did. It probably always will be. And I got to the stage where I had to find another way of spending my entire life on the bike that wasn't being a courier. But the way it happened at the time was that I sort of gradually had little realisations and realised, I don't know, I'm doing a hell of a lot of miles. I wonder if I added it all up, how many times I've been around the globe, and then that started to ignite things, and I started to think, well, maybe I could cycle a very long way, like, all in one direction, rather than just in circles in the same very small
same
area.
Places.
Pretty much. So that was sort of where that came from, but then there's also, with me, an impulse to always find something a bit harder to do, because once I've overcome the most recent challenge, I kind of think, oh, well, actually, that was probably a bit pathetic, because I could do it, so let's find some way of really proving myself. And then obviously eventually that will also become something that clearly wasn't that bad if I could do it, so etc. So it's kind of an upward spiral, I guess. So I went from couriering to attempting to cycle around the world. Disclaimer, I have not yet cycled around the world. I kind of...
Soon, coming soon.
Well, yeah. It's a long process.
Yeah,
I went quite a long way, and I'm just, you know, I'm knocking it off in chunks now. The problem now is that I've got to a part of the world that I'm not really interested in cycling through. So at some point I need to go and do Central America, which I'm sure will be great when I get there, but I'm not that interested in hot equatorial places. So I need to just go and get through that and get to South America as soon as I possibly can. So that's a sort of ongoing project. And then from there, obviously, because I could do it, long distance cycling is clearly not that hard, so I had to find something harder, and that was how I got into the long distance racing, which is exactly the same thing, just really speeded up. With more food.
More
and less sleep.
Other people, I guess. No, because couriering is with other people, but you're not against each other, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's interesting.
How do you feel about the competitive nature? Because it varies from each thing, right?
Well, deeply ambivalent. Lee, would you like to cut in there? How do I feel about the competitive element? So to introduce my co-pilot, Lee is a former professional athlete. So has some different feelings about competition because she has a bit more experience with it. I'm still in denial that there is any competition.
You did an interesting one because you maintain that you are not competitive and yet you're probably the most fiercely competitive person I know.
That's not actually fair. I do admit that I'm competitive. I also think there are different ways of being competitive. And I also admit that I'm as conflicted about this as, well, probably more conflicted than anyone else, because I really love doing races like the Transcontinental, where you cycle across Europe as fast as you possibly can. And one of the things I love most is that I'm off on my bike, on my own, in the middle of Europe, going really fast in days and days. And the competition makes me really uncomfortable. But if I see another rider ahead of me on the road, I have to overtake them and get them behind me by a very long way. And
so you go out for just go out for a ride to the pub with M and she half feels you. Emily, not everything needs to be a race. It is interesting that we do come from completely different places, because I came from a race background and that was my life and my profession for years, and it was sort of drummed into me. And so I feel as though now, having teamed up with you, I'm kind of left that bit behind, but I haven't fully left it behind, obviously, because it's sort of woven through your DNA if you've been there once before. So yeah, it's been really interesting to sort of see how... Oh, Karen Hartley has just delivered
a cocktail with seaweed.
Karen, I can't drink this. I'm an athlete. Thank you. But unless this is the seaweed one of your five
organic,
a day?
It's organic.
Yeah. Cheers, everybody. Ooh. Everybody,
cheers,
listening.
Everybody.
You actually need to drink along. This is a drink along podcast.
Thanks, Karen. What a ledge.
Cheers.
So moving on from the uncomfortable conversation about how competitive I'm not.
Actually, can I ask a question about competitiveness? Because I've heard that, this is a total stereotype, but men are happy to be competitive against each other. Women are more competitive against themselves.
Hmm.
And I actually find myself in that kind of category. Like, the idea of actually doing cyclocross really appeals to me, because I don't, from the stories I've heard, you're not really competing. It doesn't feel like you're competing against other people, because the circuit's so short, people end up lapping each other anyway, so you're kind of just racing against the clock. And I was wondering how you see that with women.
I think it's a really interesting question, because I don't think you can make that distinction as clearly as that. It's very complicated, because the sort of women that find themselves in competition are the types of women that lend themselves to it more.
They are competitive.
Yeah. And, you know, and I can only really answer for me. I happen to be a woman, and I happen to get quite competitive if you put me on a start line. And I do look around and I think to myself, how am I comparing to the performance of others? That's life, that's existence on the planet as a human being, I think.
Survival of the fittest.
Absolutely.
Is it sort of just the phrase comparison? It's, you know, competitiveness, kind of the idea of the other people in the same space as me at the same time doing the same thing.
Mm. That's what I find deeply uncomfortable.
So the vast majority of the writing I've done in my life has been on my own. Like, as a courier, obviously you're in a very private place, but you're on your own doing your own thing. And writing across Asia, I was on my own. I was a soloist. So I think we're about to be giving more cocktails.
Sorry, I edited it.
Yeah.
So it's returned to our shambolic podcast.
I love it. So Emily, you're going to enjoy. Lee is now going to explain the story of the two of you teaming up.
Oh, this is a really good story.
Can we actually record two separate versions of this from separate rooms, and then you can play them together and compare them to class?
Okay, so before we tell the story, we should explain that I spell my name L-double-E. So when I sent Emily Chappell an email from my account, L-double-E, she assumed that I was a bloke, and I was saying things like, you know, I really like what you're doing, encouraging more women to, you know, get into riding bikes, and I've just finished a racing career, and I'm really keen to do the same sort of thing.
Can I interject?
The email
that didn't take long.
How many do you get? I think we only get three, and then we have to one.
The email began with, "Hello, I was British mountain bike champion." So I instantly thought, who is this arrogant bloke?
Oh, so it wasn't just a bloke, it was an arrogant
bloke.
You see, you haven't heard of me, Miss Chappell. I was British mountain bike champion anyway, correct?
That is a strong way to start email. I will keep it that.
I don't think that is actually how the email started.
I'll find it.
Oh,
don't get receipts out, no.
Yeah, anyway, so maybe we should fast forward to actually what became.
No, carry on, this is lovely.
So, yeah, I pinged her an email, and I think she was riding through Canada at the time on her own, but she replied. And then months passed, and eventually we got in touch with each other again and met up. And
you lent me a bike, didn't you?
Oh, that was it. I lent you a bike that then failed on the Capital Trail.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Emily came to Edinburgh.
She's like, you arrogant bloke.
You arrogant bloke lending me a bike. So yeah, no, that is actually how we officially met. So we'd met via email, and then sort of knew that we had the same sort of social aims to try and get more women on bike.
When did you realise that Lee wasn't a dude?
When she met me in Edinburgh to give the bike.
Been hilarious.
Actually, even now.
Meeting you?
Were you looking for the dude?
Looking through them.
No, I googled her eventually. Him, and then found out that it was a bird.
Oh, right. Is that how it happens?
Yeah.
I get that quite a lot. Actually, even when people meet me, it's still a bit of a...
I get it a bit with Alex, and I love it.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It's
actually
super fun when they're like, meet Alex, and you're like, ah, well, I'm not coming.
Yeah, people do a bit of a double take, and then you see them trying to frantically try to reorganise their thoughts.
Yeah, try and fumble over there.
Yeah.
Assumptions.
Yeah.
Assuming is wrong.
So I assume Lee would be a twat.
And then I met her.
And I found out that she was really lovely.
Yeah.
And generally okay.
So I feel like Jenny didn't hear the lawnmower story.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is.
Okay.
It's pretty wild.
Well, so we were just at this event at Look Mum Your Hands where everybody was asked the question, what was the moment that you realised you were capable of more than you thought you were? And everyone started talking about the...
The moment you realised you were what?
You were capable of more than you thought you were.
Oh, okay.
Which is sort of the founding principle of the Adventure Syndicate. And everyone answered, you know, when I rode my first 300 odd acts or... did that 24-hour time trial.
Yeah,
let's have a breather to receive amazing drinks.
It's good, isn't it?
So the moment you realised you were capable of more than you thought you were...
was when I was 8 years old and my dad couldn't start the lawnmower. And so I went out into the garden to help him and I was like, come on, I reckon I can... You know, let me have a go.
Pull. This is the pulling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the kind of ripcord
like
thing.
Prime
and
it and
quite
like...
difficult for a little 8-year-old's arm. And so you're not going to be able to do that, Lee. Go back inside. Never, ever, ever say that to a little Lee Craigie.
Your dad said that to you?
Yeah, he said, I don't think so. No, he wasn't as blunt as
but
that.
But he was struggling.
He couldn't do it. He'd been out there for ages. It's like, come on, give someone else a go. And so eventually he let me have a go. And I tried and tried and I wasn't getting it. It was really hard.
Mm.
But eventually I did actually manage to start the lawnmower. And my whole family came out and were just a bit like, yeah.
And then did you have to mow the lawn after that?
I couldn't actually push it.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I couldn't actually push the thing. I was too weak. But that was just such a moment of, oh, so hang on, this man that I've, you know, revered as being this god until now, it was a little bit of a shift in power as well, and it's, you know, just, oh, actually, you know, I'm I'm going to be that one day, and I can do that stuff, and I can even maybe even do more than people think that I can do. And that just set this whole chain of thoughts going in my mind, and I think about that every time I'm in that position where an adult or a person in authority or I'm working with another, you know, kid that's being told the whole time, you know, you're not good enough for this, you can't do this, then that's such a powerful message, isn't it?
So this is something that, this is a question we get asked every time we do an event, which came up this evening, because I brought it up, because I just thought, well, we might as well, someone's going to ask it, so it might as well be me. And it's the whole question of, well, you know, you want to go on this big bike trip, but you're a woman, isn't it dangerous, aren't you worried, what if something goes wrong?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I am... Shouldn't you be scared? Shouldn't you be worried?
You're a woman. I am more and more just overtly pissed off with this question, because I think that the question itself is so damaging to women and their self-belief. So I was asked this constantly when I was planning my round the world trip. And so you start to think, well, if everyone's asking me this, there must be some basis for this. So you start to believe that, well, maybe it is. And I honestly set off on my trip knowing I would be raped and knowing that some really bad stuff would happen to me. And I'd come back with physical and mental scars, but I was prepared to go into it. And of course, nothing happened. I had a really good time and grew as a person, and it was all wonderful. And I'm more and more angry with the people who ask this question, because the only evidence they have that it's dangerous is that they've heard a lot of other people ask that question.
Mm. And so true. I'll have to admit, I asked it. I had a friend a few years back. They were travelling on their own, my friend Katie, and I was like, what? I even said it. I was like, you can't do that.
Where did she go?
She went Thailand, through Asia, on her own, and I was like, and I think, it was me parroting and mimicking what people had said to me, and you said to somebody else, thinking, she'd already been, so she told me, and I was like, what? Yeah, she's had an amazing time.
And I've met loads of cool people, ask me about
nothing went
like,
wrong,
the
and
bad
I was like,
stuff that happened.
What? Yeah, and then you think, oh, I can't believe, but that's what people told me, that's why I asked it, because I kind of wanted to hear it also, I think.
And did your perception then change of that sort of thing
as
a result?
Yeah, and then I was like, whoa, people can do, women can do stuff on their own and it not be the worst thing.
And did you take her word for it more than you did those other people? Or?
And to hear someone go like, Alex, I had a great time, like, what? And I was like, you know, but being on your own. And she was like, and it was just, like, hearing me even ask it was really scary, because the minute it comes out of your mouth, you think, I know exactly where that's come from.
Yeah.
It's come from other people. Because it was upsetting that I did, because what I wanted, I think, and say maybe the same when people ask you, they want to hear an answer, right? They want to kind of hear this truth, and then you go, nah, it's fine, and everybody goes, ah. Yeah, it's a horrible cycle where people are asking because they don't know the answer.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you give them the answer, they think, no, but I've got my worldview, so I'll listen to your answer, but I'll disregard it because I've got my worldview. And I gave an interview to a well-respected bicycle magazine recently and was really annoyed, as I frequently am now, by this whole subject, because the person who interviewed me persistently zoned in on the time I got sexually
harassed.
Yeah, sexually harassed. I mean, it was nothing more than that. It was a bad experience, but we have them quite a lot. You know, you get them in London.
I was going to say, that happens all the time.
Well,
yeah,
we're kind of used to it. And it's not something we can't deal with. And I find it really distasteful as well. People are like, oh, so you've done all this stuff. Okay, tell me about the time you were sexually assaulted in some
it's
detail.
Kind of voyeuristic, isn't it?
But this is the point I was making before, when that people are asking because I think they want to hear it.
It like reconfirms their belief.
They're honing in on something. And that exactly what you're saying there is they're honed in on it. So they disregarded everything else you said, where you had a wonderful time, you met people, you did this thing.
The bit was a net.
No, positive game.
But what I think was interesting to me is why those people ask those questions, because that fear is based on something, and it's very rarely cycling related, because these people, you know, haven't ridden across Asia the way Em has, but it's based on something. And I think the only way that we're going to change that sort of perception is to really figure out where it is from them that fear is coming from.
So because I have a slight theory on this, which is a theory that makes me uncomfortable, because there are times where I'm guilty of this as well. So when my little sister moved to London, she got herself a bike and she started cycling into uni. I was really not happy with this because I care about her. I really don't want her to get hit by a lorry. And I also... guiltily, I think, didn't trust her and didn't trust her ability, which is really really bad, and I'm really ashamed of it.
And you guys have the same blood, so
yeah. I mean, and she's
trust
actually,
her ability.
You've met her. She's really awesome. She's really cool, and I really she's actually one of my main heroes. But I was really guiltily happy when she decided she wasn't going to cycle in London, and I realised that's part of the same thing. There's all sorts of things. Like, it's this one, people want to control. They think, well, I can't protect you. It's dangerous, and I can't protect you, so I'm going to tell you it's dangerous to stop you.
Don't do it.
Because I can't do anything
don't
about
do
it. And there's also the sort of, you know, I'm scared of it myself.
Mm.
But there's also this distrust of the person's ability. So when people say, oh, you're a woman, isn't it dangerous? They're saying, well, I think that as a woman, you are both vulnerable and incompetent.
Yes.
Because we all know, even if something bad does happen, we could all handle it. And I think when people ask that question, they're actually not allowing these women the opportunity to go off and have something bad happen and deal with it and grow, because we all have bad stuff happen in life, and, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's a larger part of this fear thing, though, because fear just breeds more fear. Mm. Don't do that, that's scary, just don't do it. Mm. So just, why are you doing it?
Because that lets them off the hook, I guess. If no one else is challenging those boundaries, then it's very safe just to not challenge those boundaries yourself.
Don't go out.
Don't go anywhere.
Stay inside, be safe.
Really frustrating, because the bigger issue is the fact that people are inflicting violence against women. That is the bigger problem. That is why we can't go out without someone questioning, you know, why are you going out? People are going to rape you. And it's like, well, why don't we address the issue of rape then? You know?
Yeah.
That's the bigger issue.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And fear. That's the bigger issue. What? Yeah.
And the fact that people don't listen as well to all the women. I mean, maybe I'm a bit biased. I am a bit biased. But I know so many women who've done this kind of thing, because those are the kind of people I choose to hang out with. And there are quite a lot of them. I mean, Lee is one, and there are a lot of others. And no one really has any bad stories. They all have just this kind of sickening procession of amazing stories of people being life-affirming and the kindness of strangers and having amazing kind of mind-expanding experiences. If you talk to the people who've done long, daring, adventurous trips on bikes, nobody really has any bad stories.
Mm. They all got pretty much good ones. Mm. That I really liked that you highlighted, I can't remember who said it in the evening, it was like, oh, you ask these people that say, are you scared? You ask these people, are you worried? And you ask them, what have you done? What have you actually done? And then they go, And it's the ones who are scared, who haven't actually done anything. Mm. And then all the people that have these amazing stories. But I think what I liked the most about this evening was you did highlight bad stories, stuff going wrong, you know, having to give up. A lot of people had given up. But for me as well, that was so refreshing to hear those stories, because you don't hear enough of those
stories.
And
that's another thing.
Absolutely.
You need to not be afraid of failing. So one of the ways that women are put off, for example, going off on a big bike trip is because they're worried that they might fail and look bad and things might go wrong. And also everyone says, but what if it goes wrong? Yeah. And so this turns into a big thing. And I mean, we've both had trips where a lot of stuff has gone wrong and we have disappointed ourselves and we've been the victim of bad fortune and personal incompetence. And it just goes wrong and you have a bit of a crap time and you find a way of making it right, or you find a way of booking a flight and go home.
Yeah.
And you pick up the pieces and lick your wounds and move on and ultimately become stronger. And then you have a lot of things that go well as well. But if something goes wrong, it's usually not the end of the world.
And you have a really good story.
Totally.
I liked hearing the things going wrong as much as I liked the things going right. Because it kind of really connected with me. You think, oh, I should be okay with it being shit went wrong. And more and more.
You connect more with that.
It does
the struggle.
You're like,
oh, they're human.
Yeah.
Oh my god, they're not a superhuman that cycle around the world.
This is one of the linchpins of the Adventure Syndicate. This is one of the founding principles that we wanted to create, this group of athletes who, yes, I mean, you know, Lee has won some medals and things. I won a race once, it was quite good. But
as you do.
just
let that sink in, friends. Cheers.
But actually, we wanted to find a way of kind of, you know, ruthlessly cutting down our pedestals, because, you know, know, we're all a bit shit quite a lot of the time.
And so nice to hear that, though.
It's like, hey, I'm shit too.
Tagline. We're all a bit shit.
That would actually, maybe we should change it. The Adventure Syndicate. We're all a bit shit sometimes. Sometimes we're amazing. Sometimes,
yeah.
But sometimes we're a bit shit.
Yeah. And in really unglamorous ways. And actually, even on the long rides I've done, where ultimately I've come out looking quite good, the day-to-day business of it is I'm riding along feeling kind of sleep-deprived and dirty and smelly and itchy and a bit too hot and a bit uncomfortable and a few things are sore that I wish weren't sore. And mentally, I sort of wish I wasn't there but feel bad and guilty about myself and wish I was faster. And all of this kind of complicated, messy stuff, none of which looks remotely like the hero figure I had in my mind when I thought I would set out and conquer this. But that's actually the good stuff. And when you tell people about that, that's when they really like you, which is a really weird thing to realise.
It's really odd. Why do we connect with that so much? But we do.
We relate to it.
Yeah, we're human beings, aren't we, ultimately? Before we're cyclists, before we're anything else, we're human beings that I think, ultimately, deep down, have an interconnectedness and care and want to find the common ground. Like, we're desperately always seeking that common ground, aren't we? That guy that rescued me on the Tour Divide when my bottom bracket failed and I had to get 200 miles to the nearest bike shop before your brother.
I just had to get that in.
So Emily's brother did happen to be in a very opportune moment on the Tour Divide to help, but I had to get to your brother. So Dwayne, this cowboy, like totally different from me, you know, gun-toting, Trump-voting, super Christian, very right-wing. He was like, do you need a ride somewhere? I'm like, well, yeah, actually, 200 miles to the next bike shop. And he said, get in.
Oh, my God.
And he gave me a ride 200 miles. And the whole way we talked about our differences and our similarities, you know, it's really interesting to spend that sort of confined time with someone that just voted for Donald Trump. And you're like, why did you vote for him? And honestly, it genuinely just came from this place of, well, I want the best for my family and I want the best for, you know, I just care about people. Well, I care about people too. I love you, Dwayne. But yeah, I mean, this guy, he had a gun in his glove box. And you know, he's like, Lee, you really ought to seriously consider your safety. You should carry a gun. You know, there's absolute lunatics out there. And I was thinking to myself the whole time, you were the lunatic I was worried about. And now I really, really don't feel as though I need to carry a gun to protect myself from, you know, from you. I don't think, you know, we're all the same. We're all the same. We're all motivated by the same stuff. And we all want the same thing unless we have some sort of, you know, psychopathic disorder, which a lot of people do. But generally, as human beings,
I think a big thing as well is the fear of the unknown. So as we know, there's a lot of messed up things in our own society. But we kind of feel, well, that's okay. And then as soon as someone talks about stepping beyond that, people say, oh, but I've heard in foreign places terrible, terrible things happen. And it's just much easier to kind of, all the things that you're frightened about, you sort of push them beyond the boundary of what you know and say, well, just don't go out there, don't cross that boundary, that's where it gets frightening.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere you go, they have some sort of boundary. They go, well, don't go to the next town, it is so dodgy there, you will get mugged three times over, stay here. And you go to the next town and they'll say, well, you came from that town, oh my God! Lucky you're alive!
The unknown, yeah. It's a big fear of
which the
unknown.
Which is why we go out there, which is why we break out of our comfort zones. And on a more sort of vague personal level, it's why as the Adventure Syndicate and as athletes we always try and do things that we're scared of. So why I try to go mountain biking, for example, despite the fact that I'm really bad at it and I'm really scared of being seen to be bad at something. And this
but
is
you'll
not...
still do it?
Yeah, sometimes.
She's not very good at being told to do something, or she's not very good at coaching. So the second time I met Emily, I tried to coach her in mountain biking and it didn't go down well.
No, it didn't go down well.
So although she's willing to put herself out there, she's only willing to put herself out there under her own terms.
Well, you know, we all have failings, except you, of course.
Of course.
Lee is perfect. But
I am, in actual fact. Perfect, isn't I? Yeah. Apart from
Lee's won some things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that excuses me. So.
Because you're a hero. Where is your pedestal again? I guess so.
But I do write an arrogant email.
I want to hear your advice for people listening.
On everything or anything or something specific.
Well, advice is too broad, but I guess... like,
never eat anything bigger than your head.
I dispute that.
If we think about the Event Syndicate crowd, maybe our listeners, they're cyclists. I hope you cycle. It's okay if you don't.
But please start.
Riding a bike's pretty fun. It's pretty good.
We're ashamed of you if you don't.
Shh, no shame. Only encouragement. But I guess it's that... I think what you guys really pinpoint and really connect with is that really, really beautiful moment where someone's like, a little bit more? Just like, a bit more.
Just
you know,
more.
Just a bit more. That really fun, like, I'm going to cycle around the world. I guess the advice for that, I think, and maybe I even also would like
yourself?
To pose it to yourself in the past. No, but this idea of like, what things have you heard, what really help you? To just go that little bit further, do that little bit more.
Are you good?
This is how you embrace when life deals you a blow, when fate intervenes.
It smells nice.
Happy birthday,
Clink, clink in front of the mic.
Karen
apparently
just emptied it. Yeah. Totally emptied it.
Oh my goodness, I'm more impressed than I was before.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologise.
It was a very tasty drink.
Oh, that's refreshing.
Damn, that was
tasty.
That's like a brush.
Oh,
that's good.
Now I don't need to.
Exactly.
Right? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Saved yourself, what, 2 minutes when
two
you get
and
home?
Minute.
Is it?
That was good.
I didn't care if my bike's been stolen now.
I wanted to ask what's your advice, but I know that's always a large question. I wanted to hone it in on the concept and ethos of Adventure Syndicate, which is encouraging and enabling women and men and people that want to do more, go longer distance. It's generally ultra cycling and long distance.
No, it's
so,
not. It's whatever.
Or,
yeah.
We tend to gravitate.
We use that as a metaphor for sure.
Do more is always good.
Doing more.
How do we do more?
How do you do more?
Yeah.
Overcoming the limits that you've set yourself and other people have set you, and we've touched on some of them with the resisting question of but you're a woman, etc, etc. And one of the things that one of our speakers came up with this evening, Yasmin, and one thing she said was, pardon my language, just don't give a shit. Just do what you want to do.
So beautifully said.
So I think two points I have, and let's see if my cocktails will allow me to remember them both in enough time to actually tell you what they are.
Position, get ready.
So the one point is, so it's a little story which I'll try and keep succinct. About when I was at university, I was at a really posh university, and I was in quite a rich college of the university. So there was a lot of money available if you applied to it for sort of funds to go and do cool stuff during your vacations. And I never got my head around the fact that you were totally supposed to blag loads of free money. That was what it was designed for.
Okay.
But I always thought, I can't apply for any of that because I don't really know what I'm doing and I'm a bit of a fraud and I'll leave it to the people who do know what they're doing. And one year I managed to muster the self-confidence to put in an application for this really cool project I had in mind. I wanted to go to North India and do some research into language use there because I was a nerd. And I put this application in. And I got a letter from them a little bit later saying, we're really interested in your application. Can we just have some more details? We really like this. And by that point, I'd convinced myself that I was such a loser that they definitely weren't going to give it to me. They totally saw through me. I was a fraud. I didn't actually know what I was doing, so I didn't even respond. And then a few weeks later, they just sent me a check.
Oh.
Like, they decided, even though I'd not got back to them, they were totally going to give me the money. They thought it was an okay project, and they were going to give me a certain amount towards it. But my self-belief was so low that I never cashed the check, I never went. And then about 10 years later, when I was preparing to go off on my big round-the-world thing and packing up all my stuff, I found this check that had long since expired, which is a shame because it was quite a lot of money.
Cash that in!
I know! I even checked, but it was definitely expired. But I remember finding that and thinking... realising they believed in me all along, and actually there wasn't much to it. I mean, it wasn't a big deal.
they wanted to give away this money. I was not any more stupid than any of the other pretentious 20-year-olds who were applying for this grant. And if I had just believed that I could probably blag my way through it, because that's what all of us are ever doing, I could have had a summer in India interviewing poor, beleaguered high school students about their language use. And it would have been really great. So one of the things is just realise that everyone in the world is totally blagging it, and you are blagging it probably as well as anyone else. And everybody that you're blagging it to probably thinks that you're doing quite well. I've forgotten my second point, as predicted. Unless you can remind me what the question was.
It does remind me of the phrase of fake it till you make it, but...
And then
my choir teacher used to say that all the time, and we never understood it. I never understood that phrase, fake it till you make it, until probably when I started Bike Kitchen. Because it was like, who are you to start a fucking bike workshop, like, and you're not even a mechanic.
It's this facade thing where it's like, do you know what you're doing? And it's this beautiful
like, no,
moment.
No,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's a beautiful moment. You just go like, you just slowly nod and go, yes. And you don't. And you really fucking don't.
What you need to do is have a voice of confidence. I absolutely know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Do you realise, Alex, I know exactly what I'm doing every single goddamn day. Do you feel my authority?
I do
like
now.
The edge of a knife.
I do now.
See, that's all there is to it. I'm totally blagging.
That was really strong.
Okay, thank we you. Need to read some cocktail descriptions.
Maybe
lady,
that's
it's
what...
your moment now.
Okay. But that's what you need to
contemplate.
Can you do it?
Are you? No, well, I had it, and then, you know, I got so dragged into M's story that
and
I got lost it.
I'll tell you, it got so drunk.
And I got a bit drunker. But there is something there, I think, when you said the Adventure Syndicate are all about, you know, the ultra endurance stuff and really sort of pushing the boundaries of that stuff and challenging and more. And I think there's a really interesting point where an M pulled you up on that and just
I remember
said,
my second point, but carry
wait.
On.
Wait,
Jesus Christ.
Let me just see if I can find my flow again.
Yeah.
Carry on.
So, what the hell was I saying?
The adventure.
Yeah, so that thing about more and about pushing and going further and being stronger and being more, less infallible, that is exactly the opposite. And so, I think, actually... In reality, for people like Em and I, the real challenge would be to stop and to actually sit still for a moment and consider what that is.
I think
you know,
it's a stupid idea.
So more, what I'm trying to say
see,
is...
you get number one and that's it.
More isn't always necessarily going further, pushing harder, being stronger and fitter. It's finding that bit that challenges you, whatever that is, and sitting with that, because it's so easy to slide off that and be like, well, I'll just look like a superhero for travelling loads of miles. Actually, that's not the bit that challenges us. The bit that challenges us is sitting still, or the bit that challenges you might be going for that job, or, you know, raising that kid, or...
So our catchphrase is, what are you capable of? Actually, maybe it should be, what are your limits? Because, yeah, you might be able to cycle 500
limits,
miles in a day, but...
It's challenge yourself, maybe. Is that too kind of simple and broad? But
we set our limits really low. You know?
Well,
and it's
not
like,
just
well,
us,
let's,
other people do.
Everyone.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so like, someone set your limits. Have you questioned what other people have made you think you can and can't do? Whatever you drank, you have to try and competently read the description.
So,
I'm going to crack on. I had a lemon party. Scientists call them sour receptors, the special senses inside your head and mouth that crave an entire bag of Tamfastics on a hangover. Well, now you can have it before the crash. A frankly appalling named low ABV offering is just the right amount of tang without turning your entire face right out. Jenny, what did you have?
Four of us had
You can't
bramble the truth because
okay.
This is the best fucking drink on this menu.
Go.
But I'm not going to read this one. I'll give the glory to someone else.
What?
I can
so
read
you're
going to
read?
Like yeah, I'm going to read the first drink that I had, which is
okay.
A barley sour. And by the way, this menu was written by Joel Golby from Vice magazine.
Yeah, I was like, he does a thing for Vice.
He's like,
yeah.
Bow down because this menu is art. My first drink was a barley sour. Listen. A weird thing has happened.
Turns out if you make Tommy's Margarita, but with Chivas 12, it sort of tastes malty and wholesome, like a really, really healthy breakfast cereal, or a good big sniff of a bag of grain. The drink is like going for a bracing walk on a windy day to clear your mind. This drink is like how you feel 3 weeks into a new diet. This drink is like getting your iron requirements for the day. This drink is health.
I had a ganju rojo, a red hook retool with sweet hibiscus, bittersweet vermouth, and herradura reposado tequila for something that's sundae and fruity, balanced and juicy, all at the same time. An American classic remade with Mexican parts. It's essentially a cocktail engineered in a lab to piss Donald Trump off.
I believe the perfect way to end this is to all shout goodbye and clink a glass.
Bye!
So if you like what we do, please like, rate, and subscribe. Your mission, if you know someone who likes podcasts, send them our podcast.
Yeah.
Make them listen to our podcast, please. A final shout out that we have new artwork.
Karina May.
Karina absolutely rules. I was like, we need to pay rad female illustrators to do our logo, which she's done an amazing job. It's so good.
I love it.
Put some links below. And we will be back when we're back. Comes out when it comes out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.